Welcome to Vistage Live, the place you can come to for insights, knowledge and perspectives from a range of experts who can help your small and mid-sized business make a great big impact. Today on Vistage Live, we're joined by Tony Chamberlain, a highly respected chairman, non-executive director, advisory board member and investor. With a career spanning industries such as fire and security, event technology, industrial gases and building products, Tony has successfully led businesses through complex challenges, expanded operations into new markets, and instigated cultural change to foster sustainable growth. Beyond the boardroom, Tony is a Vistage chair, leading two peer advisory groups. He sees his role as a catalyst for positive change, helping businesses not just survive but thrive. In this episode, we'll dive into Tony's leadership journey, his biggest business lessons, and what he's learnt about guiding organisations through uncertainty. Welcome, Tony.
Thank you. Thank you very
much. What a background we have to talk about with your leadership journey. What we're going to say.
An interesting journey.
Yeah, what way?
Whenever the questions asked on me about your leadership journey.
Yes.
I think my leadership journey started when I was having my first thoughts as a child. All I ever wanted to do was manage businesses.
Is that right?
From the get-go.
Where did that come from?
Probably my family, my father. My mother was self-employed.
Yeah.
My parents actually went broke just before I was born, of course.
Yeah.
We've got two types of people in our family.
Yeah.
The kids that went to private school and got chauffeur driven, and the ones that went to public school and walked to school.
Right.
And that was me.
Yeah, right.
But that was a nothing. I always wanted to run businesses. So I used to, if I was doing a job, I used to try and, if I was cleaning up in the kitchen, I'd try and do it as efficiently as I could as though I was on the production line. That's what was going on in my life.
Right.
So it's funny.
And was there an inspiration from movies, TV shows, books or?
Oh, it's funny. I used to watch Bewitched.
Didn't we all, Tony?
And I watched Darren pitching for business.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to pitch for business.
Yeah.
And when I was working for Encore, we used to all stage in connections.
Yes.
We used to go in and do big pitches.
Yeah.
And I was in my element. I loved doing that. Working out what the customer wanted.
Yeah.
Getting storyboards.
So they always had great storyboards on Bewitched, didn't they?
Well, I did that once and we lost the job and the client said it was a very old-fashioned presentation. But we used to have pitch meetings and I liked it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah. I used to love pitching as well.
Yeah, it was fun.
It was fun. I mean, in my day, we pitched a lot to government and they were hard panels. That wasn't so much fun.
Yeah.
But I love the challenge of it and the problem solving of it.
Loved it. Working out what client wanted. And in a creative business, we'd use videos, we'd do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I just let the creatives just have their day.
Yeah.
And I'd bring them in for the commercial side.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you how many pitches we've done.
That's
and how many. We got to a point where our success rate was like 95%.
So there was a lot of change when you were at Staging Connections, wasn't there?
Lots of change. Lots of change. When I first joined Staging, I thought I was on candid camera. The fridge in my office was full of Cloudy Bay Chardonnay.
Right.
The guy in the cafeteria, we had a cafeteria on site, and he came up and said, "What sort of food do you like?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Here the executives get breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They serve to them in their office." And I said, "No, they don't." I said, "Yes, they do." I said, "No, they don't." That was the end of that.
And how did that go down? I mean, cultural change started at the top, I guess.
People threatening to leave, and I said, "The doors are."
Yeah.
We're on a train here and we're not doing any of that. And we tidied that up. And that was a business that had the best on the front line. The people that were serving the clients were the best people. And the senior managers of the day, some of them left a lot to be desired. So we weeded them out. We got people on the bus that wanted to be on the bus. And we just improved that business beyond belief.
What's the role of a senior leadership team in a mid-sized business?
What's the role of I think to set the strategy for the organization, make that strategy live, and to walk the talk.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that sounds, that's a very simple answer. And people will be saying, you forgot safety, you forgot this. You forgot
that. Yeah, yeah.
That's all part of it.
Yeah.
We, in staging, we actually, in all the businesses I've led, I would get, I would work with the senior leadership team. We would create a business plan, and some of them hated it.
Yeah.
But we got better and better. We got to a point where we could do our business plan in 2 days.
Yes.
And we do it in four different half-day sessions.
Yeah.
And people would do various parts of the plan. We'd bring it together. We'd sign off on the plan as a team.
Mm.
We'd then identify the key change projects. We'd allocate those out, and we'd make it happen.
Mm.
And by making it happen, was it doing a PowerPoint presentation the night before you were going to present to the rest of the team? It was having a game plan, making the change, and going forward. 90% of the time that worked. Some of those projects failed. We'd reassess, maybe the wrong project, maybe we weren't doing it properly. But what we do is treasure problems. And if something wasn't working, let's put it on the table and understand why it's not working, and let's fix it.
Treasure problems, you mean like they're a special thing? Is that what you mean? Or is it?
I think sometimes in corporate life, people tend to hide bad news or hide problems. Yeah. And I used to say to people, don't do that, because it's only ever going to get worse. You're going to hide it, and it's going to grow. And then by the time we all see it, we can't control it. We can't do anything about it.
Mm.
But if you bring me the problem straight away and we put it on the table,
yeah,
as a group, we'll find a way through it.
Yeah, I really like that. That's interesting. It can be a challenge, can't it? Particularly when you walk into an organization, like you're saying, when you walked into Staging Connections, to have people tell you bad news when people are used to saying the good. I saw Alan Mulally speak once about when he walked into Ford, and people just only ever said at meetings, green lights on the whole dashboard, everything's perfect, we're doing really well, we're doing really well. It's an art to train the whole organization to share bad news, isn't it?
Very much so. It's interesting. Look, I've gone into a number of underperforming businesses.
Yes.
And there's like very similar messages. Senior leadership team will be telling you everything's under control. We've got this. The people within the business will be saying, oh, look, please don't change anything. Don't move. We're doing fine. Don't change anything. But they'll be complaining about all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Rumors will be running rife that we're going to be sold off. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. So you spend the first 30 days, listen, well, there's going to be plenty of change. I can promise you that.
Mm.
And in this day and age, change isn't constant. It's, don't even talk about not having change, because if you don't change, you're going to die. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to assess. We're going to work out what the best way forward for the business is. We're going to take the business down that path. We're going to tell you what we're going to do. You come on the journey with us, and I promise you, it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you get those first 60 days that are really tough, nobody likes you.
Mm-hmm.
You're as lonely as you'll ever be.
Yeah.
It's just to jump out of this story for a second. You know, there's sometimes I stand in my Vistage groups,
yeah,
and I think, oh my God, I wish I'd have joined Vistage. How powerful is this?
How often do we hear that? Do you know, my husband is furious at me that I hadn't joined this organization when he had his small or mid-sized business. Furious.
Yeah.
He said, you should have done this earlier. I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
We hear it so often, don't we?
Well,
why do you wish you'd joined Vistage? What would it have?
Because I stand and I watch the group. I watch how they interact. I watch how they help each other.
Mm.
I watch them come in the morning. Our group start at 7:45. We have a coffee together for 20 minutes. I watch them greeting each other. They're so happy to see each other.
Yeah.
We have we'll have our speakers. We'll stop for a break, and I stand back and I watch the group in the break talking to each other, asking each other how various things are going. That camaraderie, that I've got your back, that the everything stays in the room, you know, all of those elements, they all mean something.
Yeah.
And I can see my group, people that have been helped by being part of our group, people that have gone forward because they're part of our group. I love that.
It's really, I'm a member of a group. It's so powerful. Even as you said, when you walk in the morning, they're your people.
Yeah.
They're not your friends.
Yep.
They're not your family.
Yep.
They're your people.
They're my confidants, even. I mean, yeah. It's, yeah, you could put many, there's many descriptions, but it's unique. It's unique.
Isn't it good? Do you see, is there diversity in the room? You know, the different kinds of people? Are there people who are perhaps reluctant to get involved?
Do you know, from the get-go, because, you know, first group, I wanted it to be perfect. So, I had, you know, like we arranged a breakfast together. And even at the breakfast, everyone was talking, everyone was asking each other questions. The questions in my mind was, how long is it going to take to really get the group working as a team?
Mm.
I was worrying about all the wrong things. The group clicked and were up and going. And I think in our third meeting, I had Ron Schwartz come in and he was talking.
We've had him on Vistage Live. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is amazing. And he cares. He really cares. Yeah. Well, he came in and he said to me, Tony, has this group only been together 3 months?
Uh-huh.
I said, yeah. He said, man, it feels like a lot longer.
Mm.
But I think it is choosing the right members, getting the right people in the room.
Mm.
Yeah, it's good.
It is choosing the right members. So with your leadership experience, and we've only touched on it with Staging Connections, how are you bringing that into being a Vistage chair?
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword. It's also how I'm not bringing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it was almost a trap, wasn't it?
Yeah. See, what something I really work hard at is not going, I can hear this person's problem on A, B, C, and the solution is D, E, F. I don't do that. I think the way I use my experience is it helps me to ask questions and really try and get the members to see the way forward. And sometimes that takes courage on my part. You know, I'll have a member that, we'll do a one-to-one and that member will point blank ask me, what would you do with X?
Yeah.
And my answer to that is, well, what are you thinking of doing?
Yeah.
And then I'll ask questions around that. And then it'll be, I think we should take this to the group.
Mm.
Now, in the back of my head, I've got what I think is the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm using all the self-control. You've got no idea how much self-control I have to use to keep my mouth shut.
Of course.
We'll go into the room. We'll process that member's issue. And I'll be thinking, oh, they haven't said it yet. Can I say it?
Yeah.
No, Tony, shut up. And then somebody will say, what about blah, blah, blah? And I'll go, oh. It's funny how that works.
Yeah, it is.
But it gives a member the best result because they get 14 different views, not one.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it is. It's really powerful. What are the kinds of, I mean, obviously it's all confidential, but what's on members' minds right now? What's on the minds of small and mid-sized businesses at the moment?
I think small and mid-sized businesses, and it's a sample of 30 or something, people issues.
Yes, yeah.
The unknown in terms of what's happening in the economy, election, tariff, cybersecurity, you know, that's an interesting one. We had a absolutely fascinating session on cybersecurity.
Mm.
Brought one of our speakers in. He worked us through a real case study of cybersecurity. The some of the group members in the morning coffee were saying, Tony, cybersecurity, really?
Yeah.
Really? They're giving me a bit of a hard time, and I don't mind a hard time. Halfway through that morning session, you could hear a pin drop in the room. The members were on the edge of their seats thinking, well, what happens next? Because we've worked through a cyber criminal strikes in the business, and then this is how the business responded right through to the conclusion.
Yeah.
And I won't share too much detail because I'll spoil the story. So next meeting, start the meeting, and I said to the group, okay, people, cybersecurity was a great session, wasn't it? Yeah, it was wonderful. What have we done?
You know,
what have we done?
Yeah.
I think in the room there were two people that were doing the small business, SMB 1001, building a cybersecurity plan.
Yeah.
One member's hired a cybersecurity expert. Two members were going through reviewing their system. And I stood back and I thought, how powerful is that?
Yeah.
And we did something that we moved the dial. You know, members got more than their membership in one session in terms of value.
Really interesting. What about AI? Is your group really, or your group's really embracing?
We've done the introduction and then I've got a session middle of May where we're going to look at product, how to impact your own productivity using AI. I've flagged that with the members. They're all just looking forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So AI is a big issue. It's a big opportunity.
Mm. So you've got two groups. I know that one is, you know, almost full, and the other one you've got room.
Yeah. Got
Tell me about the culture of your groups.
Culture in C89.
So that's your more mature group.
More mature group.
Yeah.
What's the culture? We've built our trademark. The group have just constantly become a team over time.
Yeah.
Themselves.
Yeah.
They've got a chat, set up a chat group where they're asking each other questions. They're meeting outside of our meeting.
That's
they're,
great.
They're meeting. Members are asking questions. Hey, I'm looking for something like this. Can you help me? It's cooperative, collaborative. It's a solid culture, really solid culture.
Mm. That's great. And so what's your vision for your second group?
Second group, it's funny how things work, but I live in Barrel 4 days a fortnight, and I wanted to create a second group in Barrel.
Yeah, I remember.
But it's really a tough market to create a group. So anyway, I started recruiting because I wanted a second group. And the members that I've got are Western Sydney, Penrith, Smitten Grange, right. Engadine. Fate's looked after me in terms of getting members who are close to Barrel.
Yeah.
That's one thing that really amazes me. Second thing, all the members I've signed are business owners. They all own their own business.
And in the second one. In the second group. Yeah.
They're on a growth trajectory.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're looking at, or I'm thinking about who are the speakers? What are we going to do with this second group?
Yeah.
EOS.
Yes.
Is absolute special for this group.
So implementation of strategy.
Recognizing that unless we delegate and get the right people around us, we're just not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're on that journey, and they're all on that journey.
Mm.
So I'm really looking forward to.
Isn't it interesting that groups can have a different feel when it's the same chair? And it's what you were talking about, Tony, that it's not about you, it's about the group.
Totally about the group. Well, in terms of recruiting, it's funny because I think I'm one member off starting this group.
Mm.
And was it last night? It was yesterday I met somebody, absolutely, you know, lovely person, great business. And I was thinking, I found my eighth member. And then I kept talking to this person. I said, no, if I put this person into my new group, I'm doing the wrong thing by this person. This person needs to be in C89 because you're going to get on with them. There's a lot of things he has in common with them.
Hmm.
So that's happened to me three times in the last week.
Yeah, right. You've got to put your new group hat on.
Well, it's more about the members, you always say.
Of course it is. About the members. It's all about the members. It's
not about me and my group. It's about making sure we do the right thing.
Yeah. And that's the beauty for you then of your practice now, your Vistage practice being two groups, because you can really think about where people belong.
Exactly.
So getting to your Vistage practice and you as a Vistage chair, what's the difference between being a non-executive director or a chair of a governance board compared with being a Vistage chair? Because you do both.
Yeah, big difference, massive difference. Let me start with Vistage. When I joined, or when you know, I went through the training with Vistage, I just wanted to be busy. I've been working, I don't know how many hours a week, and then I stopped.
And
I wasn't busy.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be busy. So I thought, oh, this will be fun. I'll do this. But once I've got that group together and I started working with the group, it's much more, not about me, it's about the group, but this group lets you into their business life.
Yeah.
It lets you into their personal life as well, but they led you into their business life. And I find myself thinking, well, I know this person's in the US doing a deal. I wonder how it's going. I wonder how he's going.
Yeah, what's going on. Yeah.
And I find myself ringing them. Okay, you got back 3 days ago. I've given you 3 days. Tell me, how'd you go?
You're invested in them.
You're invested in what's going on.
Yeah.
But you're also helping them.
Mm.
So it's a, I don't want to sound corny, but it's like a calling. You know, you'd love it. I love it.
Yeah.
In terms of being a non-exec director, that's been quite a journey for me in terms of the first message, and I have wonderful chairman in one of the businesses I was in, that after about 3 months, he put his arm around me and he said, "You've got to remember you're no longer the CEO."
Yeah.
And he said, "You're going to be a much better chair if you start acting like a chair and not a CEO."
Interesting.
And just good advice.
Yeah.
So I had to change the way I was approaching things and start asking questions and recognize that I'm there to help these guys. But by helping them, you don't sit there and tell them what to do. You ask some questions and let them see the way.
Yeah.
But you get 6 hours a month to do that.
Yeah.
Very limited. So being a non-executive director is fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy running through the numbers. I enjoy going through the board packs, but it's not as rewarding as being a chair, a listed chair.
Mm.
That's not to say I don't like being an NED. It's just two different things.
So the whole portfolio works for you, the balance of it.
I'm going to start dropping some of the NED.
And more chairing.
And I'm thinking I'd like to do maybe one more group, but a group of aspiring CEOs.
Yeah, the key group.
Yeah, maybe a key group for people that want to take the next step.
Mm.
It's funny how, you know, as you get older and you get the gray hair, you start to realize, well, I underestimated the knowledge and value that I can add to people. Yeah. And I chair a startup and just working with the founders and you watch them deal with a problem, and you would talk to them about the problem and talk to them about the solutions, and you watch them go, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah," and it sort of comes as second nature to me because I've been there and done it. But for founders that haven't run businesses, that haven't had that experience, they need someone to help them learn those ropes.
Someone who's walked in their shoes.
Walked in those shoes, exactly.
So, what would you say, Tony, to someone who's hasn't even considered it or thinking about becoming a vistage chair? What would you say?
I would say do the training. Understand that everything isn't going to fall together overnight. It's going to take time.
Yeah.
And it's a bit like, you know, you've got to sow the seeds and work hard to get the right people.
Yeah.
But you make that journey part of the fun.
Yeah.
I've met so many people in creating these groups.
Yeah.
That I've made that part of the fun because you meet some interesting people, but you've got to get the right people in your group. You've got to work out, you know, you do that, what they call the empty chair exercise, where you work out, what do I want my group to look like? What's going to be the focus of this group? Where are we going to take this group? Come up with a theme, play to your strengths, and then go about recruiting people that are going to help you fulfill that theme, but you're actually helping them fulfill their dreams if you do it properly.
I love what you said. I haven't thought of that. Instead of thinking, well, building my group is hard, that actually you're learning and developing and honing your skills
on absolutely
business as you're talking to all different people and you're building something. It's not just this kind of hard slog of I've got to find members for my group.
See, I don't see it as a hard slog at all. I actually see it as fun. I love meeting people and everybody you talk to, you learn something from.
Yeah.
And there's always the 6 degrees of separation. Yeah. Be amazed the number of people I talk to and in the first 5 minutes we're talking about people that they know that I know.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, it does.
It's funny, I'll just think of yesterday, a member that he'll be a member for sure next week. I was talking to him and we were talking about running a business. He's running a business, head office is in a faraway place.
Yeah.
And we're talking about all those challenges. And as we're talking, I'm thinking of when I was in the chair and I had to deal with that.
Yeah.
So I'm asking questions and he's going, yeah, that's absolutely right.
You know how I feel. Yeah.
So it's funny. But he's reminding me and I'm sort of, it's interesting.
There's something you said too about your experience is more relevant than you realize.
Yeah, exactly.
And a conversation like that can pull something out. And even when you're talking, you think, where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly.
And you realize it's come from the years you've been doing it.
100%.
I can't let you go without my favorite anecdote about you. You know what's coming. It's Undercover Boss. Because after you told me this story, I looked it up. I Googled and saw the photo. And I went, it's Tony Kamon in disguise. It's possibly one of the funniest undercover boss looks I've seen. Tell us what happened. It's such a good story.
It was funny. I said to that the producer came to me. This is when I was in Stage and Connect.
And they approached you.
They approached me and wanted me to do it. And I said, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
And they went away. And then they came back months later. And I said, no, I don't really want to do it. And then they gave me a whole lot of stats about, you know, when you do Undercover Boss, the strikes on your website increase.
Right.
You had people coming, wanting to work and for your company, your share price goes up, blah, blah, blah. So I went to the board and said, look, here's an opportunity. What do you think? And they said, oh, you got to do it. You got to do it. So anyway, I agreed to do it. And then they came in and I said, and they start talking about the logistics. And I'm saying, I'm very hands-on.
Yeah.
I'm in every corner of this business, you know, from Western Australia to New Zealand to China. Like, I know the teams. I meet with them. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. And they said, oh, no, we'll give you a great disguise.
Yeah.
So anyway, they gave me a wig and told me to grow a beard. And the story was I'd been out of the workforce and I was coming back into the workforce. And this was my foray. So they worked out a schedule and the first stop was Luna Park. And then we were going to Queensland, Melbourne. Yeah. So we're going around the country. So Luna Park, we walk up and Rocco was one of our technical directors.
Right.
And he's running, I think it was the CEO Sleepout that we were managing. Yep. And Rocco was running that. And I walked up to him and somebody introduced me as John Holden.
Yeah.
And Rocco shakes me by the hand and he looks at me and he says, come on, Tony, I'm not that raw. And I turned to the producer and said, I told you. So they packed up and said, we're going to Brisbane. So we went to Brisbane.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is going to be a
long story. No, I love it.
We can edit.
Yeah.
So we went to Brisbane and went into the lunchroom and I was going to work with one of our drivers.
Yeah.
And we were going to go collect equipment from various sites. So anyway, go into the lunchroom, talking to the drivers, brand new driver.
Yeah.
He didn't really know me. We've got cameras set up in the truck. In the windscreen of the truck, there's a camera. So we have morning tea, hop in the truck. He drives out of the driveway. He drives around the corner and goes straight into a cafeteria, walks in and says, oh, let's have some breakfast. And I said to him, we just had morning tea. Let's get on with the work. No, I'm going to have breakfast. And he walks into the cafe. Everybody knows him. And I'm thinking, okay, they told me to just be cool. Yeah. And, I want to strangle him.
Yeah.
I want to be sitting here having breakfast.
Yeah.
So anyway, we have another breakfast. We then hop in the truck. We're driving down the street and he's driving right up behind
the
car. And I'm saying to him, you can't drive that close. You've got us. You're driving a signboard. It's got our name. So then the producers following us, they blow their horn, pull us over. And they go into the truck driver and say, oh, we just need to talk to John.
Yeah.
And they pull me out of the truck and they say, you're being the boss.
Yeah.
I can't be the boss. And I'm saying, but I can't
let this happen.
I just can't let it happen. So anyway, I think that I ended up driving in the producers and we drove, let the truck driver drive on his own while they berated me for being the boss.
Right.
And we got to the Sheraton at the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And I walk up to the Sheraton and I look at all the technicians in the ballroom and I go to the producer and I say, I can't go in there. I was talking to these guys last week. If I walk in there, they're going to know. So they stall myself and the truck driver and they come back and said, yeah, we've solved the problem. And I said, how'd you do that? We've sent all the technicians home and you and the truck driver will load the truck on your own.
Yeah.
There's about 14 tons of equipment. So anyway, I thought, oh, this is fun. So we load the truck and this truck driver was so dedicated in how he stacked the equipment, how he protected the equipment, that my view of him changed instantly, you know, in terms of, you know, he really does care. He's just being silly in terms of what he was driving. And then he told me a personal story about how he met his wife. And we got on famously from there. So that was really interesting. And it was funny because he was like half dead after we loaded all the
equipment.
But anyway, that's another story. Then we went to This is a very long answer. Then we went to Then we went to Melbourne and I rang the GM at Melbourne and said, look, I'm filming, I'm doing Undercover Boss. I need to make sure that everything's right in the warehouse. And don't you come out because everybody on the earth, you know me, but just make sure everything's right. So we get to the warehouse and I've got a wig on and I walk in and there's somebody spraying some sets, spray painting sets in a spray booth, no safety mask on. Person besides sawing some equipment, no ear protection, no eye protection. And I said, oh, no, I'm not doing this. Yeah. So I went and got my phone and I thought the camera's on, so watch your language.
Yeah.
And I spoke to them, got it all sorted out. We got everyone in their safety gear. Then I started working with them and I'm watching this guy soaring and I scratched my head and the wig fell off and the camera's gone. Yes, I won't keep going.
No, just, but what a great story.
That's funny. That was funny. But actually out of that, we had in so I took a much closer interest in safety as a result of that. Our lost time injury rate was 38.5.
Yeah.
That's right. And then over time, we took that down to 2.
Yeah.
We put a safety person on help us. We took responsibility. So we made a huge change.
So there was something really interesting about it. Well, it's a great story. I love your wig falling on. Last question.
Sure.
I had fun with you at Chairworld. It was great. You came to the international conference in Orlando this year with your wonderful daughter, Kate. Tell me for you as a chair, and a relatively new chair then, what was it? What was the value for you going to the international conference?
You know, one of the things about being part of Vistage is everybody's so nice. Everybody wants to help you and take you forward. And so I hop on the plane and I'm thinking, yeah, that's Australia, but Australians are very friendly. Everybody's nice. And when I got to Chairworld, one, to stand in the room with 1,000 chairs is beyond belief.
Yeah.
But I met, there was everybody I met. Tony, you know, you tell them your story, you tell them where you came from. Hey, here's my number. Call me. You want to help? You want any help with anything?
Yeah.
Call me. People were so friendly. First thing that really stood out to me. Second thing, the learning experience. In terms of attending the workshops, and, you know, one of the things about being a chair is you don't just attend a few pieces of training and you're done.
No.
You've started a journey that's continuous. You're going to constantly be learning.
Yeah.
So attending those workshops and all the things that you pick up to make you a better person, to make you a better chair, were awesome. Second, that was the second point. Third point, the speakers.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Absolutely unbelievable. So, Angela Duckworth, I think I've listened to her audiobook 3 times since Chairworld. Such a powerful speaker. Fourth point, the previous members of Vistage that shared their experience and shared their growth story and how Vistage was a part of that growth story in terms of helping those people, be better business people. That was mind-blowing. I would say to any chair, you must go to Chairworld. It's so rewarding.
It's inspiring, isn't it?
Absolutely inspiring.
It's really inspiring. Well, what a story. What an interesting business background. A great story about the groups that Tony has. And the second group, as Tony was saying, you know, still open for the right business leaders to join. And then an interesting reflection on being a chair and having a chair practice at Vistage. Tony, always fun to see you. Great chat. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So that's it for Vistage Live today. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe so you can listen to us each episode. And for more information about Vistage, check us out on vistage.com.au.